You're listening to The Head Trash Show with the founder of Head Trash, Alexia Leachman. Head Trash is the home to the new and unique Head Trash Clearance Method that removes unwanted negative thoughts, feelings, and emotions quickly and effectively so that you can achieve clarity, confidence, and contentment in your life. Tune in every week as Alexia shares insights and simple strategies to help you create some headspace to experience confidence and clarity in your life and business. To find out how to clear your head trash quickly and effectively using our unique method, pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get our free download and subscribe for our free head trash clearance updates. And now for the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Head Trash Show. This is me, your host, Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, on today's show, I'm going to talk about kinesiology and muscle testing. And to help me do that, I've got a fabulous guest who's going to join me called Kerry Rowett of awakenkinesiology.com. Now, if you've not heard of kinesiology or muscle testing, then this will be a perfect opportunity for you to find out more about it. And certainly, if you're struggling to get rid of some stubborn head trash and you've been to see a number of professionals and you still haven't got it cleared, then maybe you need to seek out a kinesiologist, because kinesiology can be a very powerful way of getting rid of head trash. And so that's why I really wanted to get Kerry on the show today, to really help explain what it is and to shed a little bit more light on muscle testing. So why do I want to shed a little bit more light on muscle testing? Well, muscle testing is something that I use a lot with my work and my clients. And certainly I use it a lot on myself when I'm clearing my own head trash. And so I thought it would be useful for you to find out more about it, because at the end of the show, after the chat that I had with Kerry, then I'll just tell you a little bit more about how you can maybe start using that for yourself and combining it with our head trash clearance method so that you can start really getting some great results for yourself. But before I go into all that, please just listen to what Kerry's got to say, because she's got some fabulous stuff to share with us, some really great stories in terms of why she came to do kinesiology and the kind of results that she gets with her clients. So without further ado from me, here's the time when I spoke to Kerry Rowett about muscle testing and kinesiology. Hello, Kerry, and welcome to the Head Trash Show. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Kerry, there's so much I want to talk to you about, but before we all dive into sort of the reason I've got you on is really to sort of talk about kinesiology and muscle testing. But before we go into all that, I'd really love to know how you got to do what you're doing today and what sort of brought you to it.
Sure, I would love to share. So it was actually back in 2006 that I first went along to see a kinesiologist. And I was not too long back from living in the UK myself. And I was selling, and I had quite a good job in teaching. I was living in a nice place, and I had what I thought to be quite a good relationship at the time. But I just knew I wasn't feeling very happy. And so I knew there was something I needed to explore and look at, because there was nothing externally that I could really fix anymore. And so, yeah, I just happened to pick up a flyer for a kinesiologist one day and went along, and straight away I just loved it. I just thought it was amazing and interesting, and, you know, all the different things this kinesiologist was able to pick up on through the muscle testing. It was also accurate, and, yeah, I just noticed I was getting all these changes in my life. So that was really incredible, and I had several sessions. And then I used to have this recurring depression that would come and go, so over quite a long period of time, about 14 years, and it came back up to the surface again. And I just happened to be along at the doctor one day for a different reason, and I told him, and he just said, well, you know, that's not really normal to feel like that. And, you know, when I explained it further, he said, you know, I really think you need to go on antidepressants. Like, you have done so much to try and look after yourself and to stay in balance, and I don't really think there's anything more that you can do. I think you need to go on antidepressants. So I took the prescription with me, because at this point I just thought, well, you know what? I have actually done everything I can. I can't think of anything else either. And it just happened that by coincidence, I had an appointment with my kinesiologist the following day. So I told her what had happened and that I was going to go on the antidepressants. And she just said, well, you know, would you like us to work on the depression today? And I said, oh, well, you know, if you want. Like, I don't really think there's any point because I've already made my decision. So sure enough, we did work on the depression, and we had a session that day, we had another session the following week, and the depression was gone.
Wow.
So yeah, it was really after that, and obviously we, you know, drilled down into what the actual source of it was and where it had come from and all the layers of why it would recur and the feelings that I would have. And, you know, she brought in the hormones and the neurotransmitters and all the different, you know, the kind of cascade effect. And so we really got to the root of it. And then once she cleared that, it was gone. So it was really after that that I thought, well, you know, kinesiology, yes, it's interesting and amazing, but look, it changed my life. So it was then that I decided I wanted to study it myself.
So for the people that are listening that don't really know what kinesiology is, would you mind just sort of giving a whistle-stop tour or explaining it in like really simple terms what it is?
Absolutely. So if you go along and see a kinesiologist, same way that you might if you go see a counsellor or a psychologist or somebody else, you're going to explain what's going on for you and what's causing you stress and, you know, what you feel like it might be connected to. And a kinesiologist is typically going to then get you to say how it is that you're wanting to feel and what it is that you're hoping to achieve. And so when someone sees me, I develop that into some goal statements about, you know, so for example, I feel clear, calm and confident, or whatever it is that you're wanting. So we develop this list. And then once we get into the session, if you see someone in person, you'll lay on a massage table and the kinesiologist will muscle test your body to find out what's going on, where the imbalances are. I work with my clients via Skype. So I muscle test myself to find out those answers. So with the muscle testing, I'm basically asking, right, well, these are the things that you're wanting, that list of goals that we have created. And so what is it that's preventing you from being able to experience those things? So we're looking to find out different attitudes, beliefs, emotions, anything that's going on a physical level or, you know, a chemical level, hormonal. And we're really building up quite a picture of what it is that is contributing here. And we can also find out information about where it's come from, also through muscle testing. So this might connect to certain times in your life. So we can sometimes find like the root of it. So let's just say it's quite common that someone might see me because they're going through relationship difficulties, let's say. And you know, on quite a few occasions when we've muscle tested to find out where it comes from, we'll often go back to, you know, a certain age, and that person will then say, oh, that's when my parents split, or that's when my parents divorced, or, oh, that was my first relationship and that became abusive, or whatever it is, you know, and we start to see, oh, okay, that's really what the source of this is. And it's like a pattern has been kind of set up. So we want to really diffuse the original pattern, not just look at what's going on right now for you. And then also through the muscle testing, we're saying, right, so these are the things that are going on. What is it that you need to help to bring you back into balance? And again, I'm using the muscle testing to find that out. So the muscle testing is just like a shorthand way to connect with your subconscious mind, your higher self, your body. So we're getting this really clear, direct information about what's right for you. And me as a kinesiologist, my job is to translate that for you and to communicate that to you, to help you to understand it. So I think that's one of the reasons it's so powerful. It's not like my opinion of your issue or your problem. It's actually, you know, me passing on the messages that your body wants you to understand.
So when you're doing muscle testing, what does that involve exactly when you're doing muscle testing? What are you doing?
What am I doing? So, well, when I'm working via Skype, I'm sitting at my chair and I have one arm bent and with the other hand, I've got it placed at my wrist and I'm muscle testing. So basically I'm looking, I'll see if I can explain it. I'm looking for a weak muscle response and that will tell me that's where the stress is. So I might be referencing a chart, or I might be looking at a book, or I might even be looking at my bookshelf, or I'm looking at a range of essences and I'll be saying, which one is it, basically? So which emotion are we looking at? Which essence do we need? You know, what is the information that we need here? And the muscle testing gives me that information. So I get the weak muscle response and I say, okay, this is where it is.
Okay, so you get a weak muscle response if that's where the work's needed. And I'm thinking a strong muscle response is giving some sort of positive message.
Just saying there's no stress on that. This is neutral. It's not a stress. So basically when we're thinking about muscle testing, we're thinking about it in the sense of a circuit. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a strong muscle response, that means the circuit is holding and, you know, there's no stress. It's neutral. Whereas when you get a weak muscle response, that's the circuit breaking. So that's saying there's a stress here. So then we've got to collect the information about what the stress is about.
So I'm sure some people hearing that are thinking, wow, that sounds pretty amazing that you're doing this kind of work on Skype, where you're picking up on somebody's signals from their subconscious or from their body. You know, how does that work? I mean, this is what I'm sure some people are thinking, how on earth does this work? How do you think it's working?
Look, it's quite difficult for me to say really as to how it's working, but I guess when I'm doing it, I mean, I guess it's showing us that, you know, we are so connected, and I guess it's showing the capabilities of what we can do in an energetic sense, and like it really kind of surpasses what we can understand in a lot of ways. But when we're working by Skype, I'm working with a very clear intention that I'm muscle testing on your behalf. Mm. So it's having that real clarity of mind. Like if I was muscle testing on your behalf, but I'm confused about, is this mine? Is this yours? Am I picking up on the wrong thing? You know, if I had those kind of thoughts going on, well, yeah, sure, it wouldn't be very accurate. But I have quite a lot of certainty about the muscle testing process and the way I'm going about it and the clarity that I have. And so what I find is it's not even something I have to think about, because I bring up what's coming up in my clients straight away. It's like, yes, I see that. So I think it's get that constant, you know, repetition and feedback that I get from having worked with many, many hundreds of clients that gives me the clarity that it's accurate.
And do you find that sometimes you're getting the clarity or that the thoughts coming up for your clients, is that coming up in your mind as well? Do you get a sort of almost a simultaneous reaction, or do you purely go on your muscle testing results?
Look, it's become very intuitive as well. Mm. I would absolutely agree. So I will often get a thought, or I'll get like a statement, or even in my mind I'll see a certain book, or I'll see a reference. Sometimes I'll get a picture, or I get a story, or, you know, I see a lot and I'll hear a lot as well. So I kind of sometimes use the muscle testing just to validate that. It's like, is that, you know, is this what I'm seeing, or does this mean this? So it's like I'll use the muscle testing to check that.
Mm. So I'm sure there are going to be some people listening to this going, hang on a minute, how this, you know, she can't explain it. She's working over Skype. Where, you know, where's the kind of science for this? Is there any science for this right now? Does there any, you know, have the scientists caught up? Have they found a way of articulating or figuring out what's going on with this technique?
I think like there's probably a little bit of shaky science around it, but I would say that overall, like just as you say, I think that probably into the future is something that science would be able to validate. But if we think about, you know, a traditional form of testing, which is going to be like a double blind, you know, like a very large study, etc., like I don't believe that there has been that level of testing. It's one of those things, like, I mean, I certainly have obviously a lot of clients over the years who've been quite skeptical. They've got no idea what I do or how it works, and I don't explain it in a lot of detail as to how I work. But I've found almost universally, as soon as someone has experienced it, they think, well, you know, it doesn't really matter, or if I'm that interested, I'm going to go and study it. And I've actually had probably maybe 10 of my clients have gone to study kinesiology themselves because they are that interested. But aside from that, they'll say to me, Kerry, what you do works, and that is what I'm interested in.
Certainly I've sort of seen amazing results from people, you know, from being able to communicate like that by using muscle testing. And for me, even though I find it sometimes hard to explain, you can't dispute the fact that it just kind of delivers results. And so for me, the results is what counts. You know, you really find that if you're able to feel better about something that you felt really terrible about before, and you're able to communicate with your body and now you feel better about it, you know, it doesn't really matter that the science isn't there to say it doesn't work. Right now, yes. I used to feel 10 out of 10 on frustrated about this thing, and now I feel 2 out of 10. And that has made a massive difference to my life, and that's good enough for me, right?
That's right. And there's those like short-term changes where people feel better right away. But then there's also the long-term changes where, you know, I'll have people come back to me months or years later and tell me, you know, we worked on this, or, you know, that work that we did together, it was a catalyst for, you know, these changes that I've made, or I felt those changes continuing on for such a long time afterwards. I think that's why I sometimes find it a little bit hard to explain, because, look, I can explain what I do, but I can't explain why it works so profoundly. <laughs> You know? <laughs> That's a kind of like a mystery. I mean, I'm in awe of that myself. Like, I get clients write to me every single week telling me about things that they've experienced, and I can't really 100% say why they're getting that level of change.
I know when I was recently pregnant, and I've got a little 4-month-old, and I had a lot of pregnancy symptoms this time around. And my first port of call when I got a new pregnancy symptom, well, first of all, I try not to get frustrated about it. Then I fall into the trap of Googling it, which is always a really bad move. And on one particular occasion, when I did Google it, everything I read suggested that I was just going to have to stick with this until the birth. You know, there's no way of getting around it. It was a permanent thing. I might even be stuck with it after birth. And it was pelvic girdle distress or something. When your pelvic bones are clicking, like, you know, you can literally not walk. You're in agony because you can hear your pelvic bones clicking. Horrific. I was like, no way. I've got another 5 months to go. I can't put up with this. And I'm a big fan of The Emotion Code by Bradley Nelson. And I muscle tested if I had any emotions that were trapped contributing to it. And I thought, right, well, I'll give this a shot, you know. And I worked on that using muscle testing to sort of work out what was going on, which emotion I needed to release. And the next morning when I woke up having had the best sleep ever during my pregnancy, the clicking had completely gone. And I was running around the next day telling my other half, oh my God, that's amazing. I can't believe I did that. And he goes, yeah, but you do this all the time. Why are you so amazed? It's like, but you still can't, you know, it's still amazing that this work works. Even though I do it and I see these results regularly, I'm still in awe of the ability of what we do, that to do that kind of, to bring that kind of change around.
I just think every now and again you hit on something, whether it's something you shift for yourself or something you shift for a client, and you just think, that is actually amazing. Like, I can't believe that happened. Because like you say, we know, but it's I think it's beautiful as well to have that sense of awe and that sense of being able to, you know, surprise yourself.
Absolutely. And I love the idea that, you know, sort of being in slightly, you feel, you know, you're working with something that you know has got an ability to bring about change, and yet I still get a sense that, you know, you're handling something that's got this magical quality that's just much bigger than I am, and that I feel privileged to be able to use it in that way, or to be using it like this. So is that how you feel about it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I really do.
Now, for people that don't know how to muscle test and thinking, wow, this sounds amazing, how can I start, you know, can I start using this for myself? Would you advise people to use it on themselves like that, or?
The book you've already mentioned, The Emotion Code, I think that's a really great place to start, because it takes you through several different ways that you can self-muscle test. And it's got, as you know, a really simple process whereby you can find trapped emotions and you can clear them yourself. So, you know, The Emotion Code is not, you know, it's not a full kinesiology system or anything like that, but it's a really simple technique that I think if you were listening to what we're talking about today and you're thinking, I'm really curious about this, I'd like to try it for myself, well, that's a really easy way in. The one thing I will say about muscle testing for yourself is that if you are a little bit, if you're really highly invested in finding out a specific answer, like, for example, if you're like, I want to know if I'm pregnant or not, and you're trying to muscle test on that, I don't know. I mean, like, you're probably going to be really wanting it to be yes or really wanting it to be no. And so it's hard to stay like a really clear channel and just to clearly muscle test. I know some people who can, but certainly I am not that clear for myself. And likewise, if you've got other things you're testing on and you are really heavily invested in what's going to come up, it won't be as clear, because it really comes down to your intention. and your level of clarity and certainty. So if you're a person who is constantly questioning things anyway, and then you are questioning the muscle testing, well, that is going to impact on the accuracy of it. Whereas if you, and I'm not saying you just have to blindly trust, but it's just the way it works, that if you trust that it's working and you, you know, trust the results you're getting, you, you know, you need to obviously be able to validate that for yourself and have some a sense that it has been accurate for you, then you're going to get a clearer response. You're going to get a clearer result.
So basically you need to try and keep a really clear mind and not have any other sort of stuff coming in distracting you from being able, almost like you say, to keep a clear channel and That's have right. the intent of hearing or being given the right answer, as it were, through the muscle test. And if you can keep clear and have no intent and no, not try and want for a certain response, then you're more likely to get a better result.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it works. And making sure you're asking very clear questions. So asking one question at a time that has a clear yes, no answer, rather than a question that's a little bit muddled. And there could be a few different ways that you could think about it.
Mm. And I think the other thing as well to mention is not to, certainly one thing I've heard is don't ask questions about the future. Yes. Like, will I get married? Will he ask me to marry him? That kind of thing. Because it can't predict the future, can it?
I agree. I don't use it as a future predictor. Occasionally clients will ask me to do that and I'll say straight up, it's not a way to predict the future. I think that, you know, we're creating our future in every moment. So you could certainly say, am I on, and I certainly wouldn't want to test, like, am I on track to fall pregnant or am I on track to, you know, get married? One of those kind of things, which is, you know, something you'd be very, very heavily invested in, and it's very quite a serious matter. But we could say, you know, are you on track for this or are you on track for that? Certainly. But yeah, it's a present tool and we can pick up things from the past, but I wouldn't use it to predict the future.
I sometimes resort to it when I'm cooking, which seems really odd. Like, for example, last week my scales broke and I make my own bread. And so I didn't know if I'd put the right amount of flour in. And so I just resorted to muscle testing to see if I'd, how much flour needed to be added to get to the place to make a decent loaf again. And I was amazed, the loaf came out perfect, having muscle tested the amount of flour I needed to put in. Is there any sort of crazy ways that you use your muscle testing?
I don't necessarily. I don't use it all the time for myself. I have a fairly highly developed intuition. And so I think, you know, the more, as you go on, like, muscle testing is like an alternative to using your intuition. And initially muscle testing would be a lot more accurate, but as your intuition develops, your intuition is, it's as accurate, if not more accurate. So you can certainly use it for things like, you know, should I eat this? Like, is this food good for me to eat? I've certainly heard of people using it that way, or yeah, that kind of thing. Or even finding a message for yourself, like, you know, for example, in a book on the bookshelf, like, is there a specific message I need to read today? Like, you could use muscle testing to find out something simple like that if you wanted to.
I think the food thing is actually quite important. I've seen some people use it quite really well. Like, for example, when I've been on courses and we've all gone out for dinner in the evening, and then there's been sort of, you know, like a shared food has been brought out, and then somebody sort of says, "Oh, I've got a pineapple allergy or something," and one of the dishes has got pineapple in, and they sort of muscle tested through and just put some of the sauce aside and muscle tested they could eat that, and they just sort of basically worked their way through the foods to see what they could eat and what they couldn't, and were able to kind of pull apart the things on the table that they were able to eat safely without triggering any of their allergies. So it's, you know, that could be quite useful for people with allergies, can't it?
Yes, and it is actually quite useful for food. I've had people as well, it's not usually the primary reason they'll come to see me, but it might just be something that comes up. They're having problems with their digestion or not losing weight or something like that, and they have questions about food. Like, just a client I had last week, she's like, I'm doing this big detox, it was like a juice fast, and she said, I'm not losing any weight and I'm bloated. And we were able to muscle test and find out that for her, she could not eat the amount of raw food that she was eating, and that was what was causing the issue. She needed to be cooking her food, which is something they talk about quite a bit in Chinese medicine. And so it was just really interesting, because, and of course we then said, you need to go and test that and, you know, check it for yourself and see how you feel. But it was quite interesting because she thought, I'm detoxing. There's nothing I could be possibly eating right now that could be causing me to be bloated. So it's a good way to, you know, be able to test and find out what is actually going on.
So you mentioned earlier when you said, you know, when you're muscle testing and you do it on Skype, you might be consulting a book, a chart, essences. Can you just talk a little bit more about how you're using it then to help your clients? Because some of that sounds really interesting, the way that you might be consulting different kind of things during a session.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got a range of different resources, like some of them are textbooks that I bought when I was studying. But I've also just bought books in bookstores as well. So there might be a book, for example, that talks about, you know, has a list of different essential oils or a range of different affirmations or a whole range of different things like that. So I can muscle test and say, you know, which essential oil is it and what is the information that you specifically need in relation to that. So whatever it is that I'm muscle testing get, then I convey that information to you and then we link that up to the stresses that you've described and your goals. And so that's how we start to build up this picture of what is going on for you. Mm-hmm. So it contributes basically to the story. So a kinesiologist, what they're doing really is we're using the muscle testing. It's like it's the framework or the tool to guide us through the session and to guide us, you know, on this pathway that's leading you to this greater awareness and understanding and healing.
That's certainly how I, when I'm using it with my clients and in the one-to-one sessions, that's certainly how I use it. It's very much a guidance tool. I never for a minute feel that it's me sitting here as an expert knowing everything there is to know about head trash and I'm going to help you because I'm an expert. I'm just connecting to what they need to heal, and the muscle testing is just guiding me through that process, and it's just being open and keeping that channel clear. And it's, again, it's reflecting back what's actually going on inside of them and their deeper subconscious.
Quite similar actually for both of us, in that part of like what our skill needs to be is this ability to stay open and to stay curious and to not think that we know all the answers. Like I've been seeing clients professionally since 2009, and I still have sessions nearly every week where I'll say, well, that's never happened before, or I've never had that particular thing come up, or that's, you know, it's always new to me. And we're making connections. I think, wow, that's a really different way to think about that or to look at that. So, you know, as we touched on earlier, I love the way it's not limited by our own perceptions or our own beliefs or our own level of development. We're constantly, as practitioners, being stretched to grow and to learn by what comes to our clients.
So somebody, I mean, because this show's about head trash mainly, so the negative thoughts, feelings and emotions that are kind of really taking up headspace. In terms of helping people in that way, do you think it's a, you know, would this be a really great way for people to, you know, if they maybe tried other stuff and they're just really struggling, this a really great way to help them to sort of, you know, maybe tackle that for themselves in terms of clearing some of that negative rubbish in their head?
Absolutely. Because I mean, when I first went to see a kinesiologist, that was exactly what was going on for me. Like, I had all this head trash and all these thoughts and these recurring passions and recurring unhelpful beliefs that I really just needed a whole bunch of them dumped. They just really weren't serving me at all, but they were so habitual. And it was like I was a thinker. I still can be quite a thinker, and I'm sure most of the people listening in are this way, where we spend a lot of time in our heads. And a big part of what we're often needing is a circuit breaker, and that's where energy techniques and kinesiology and head trash work, that can be so beneficial, because it cuts underneath the thoughts and it really gets to the heart of it, of what's going underneath all of that. So, you know, what does your heart really want? What does your spirit really want? And really connecting you back to that, rather than, you know, it's just recurring mental loops that go around and around and around. But certainly when I started seeing clients, that's absolutely where I focused my energy and attention. The vast majority of my clients had you know, anxiety or depression, or they were in overwhelm or low self-confidence, low self-esteem. So all of those, you know, mind traps. Mm. And we use different techniques and tools in kinesiology as well. We use a lot of acupressure, which is holding acupuncture points, but obviously we don't use needles, you just use your fingers to hold those points. We also use things like EFT or tapping. We do use essential oils, we use flower essences, I also use liquid crystal essences. So all of these things just help to shift the energy and to shift these old negative thoughts and beliefs. And I think that's one of the big reasons that people will often say at the end of a session they feel so much lighter and they feel so much freer, because it's like they've really shifted a whole bunch of, you know, those thoughts that are really weighing them down.
Mm, absolutely. And it is a lightening feeling, isn't it? You do feel calmer and lighter once you've kind of, I just feel it like just they just dissolve. They just, 1 minute they're there and the next minute they're gone. Is that how you describe it?
Yes, absolutely. Occasionally people will just say, I just feel like my, this doesn't happen all the time, I just feel like their head's blank.
Yes.
It's like, wow. I just, and they're just in the present, and it's such a unique experience for many of us to just feel that feeling of just being here and now in the present and experiencing and living life rather than really living it in our head.
Absolutely, absolutely. So with all the work that you've done with all your clients, you've said you've worked with 500-600 clients, which is like a huge amount. Have you got any stories out of, you know, your clients that, you know, some really great transformational stories of ways that you really helped them in a way that, you know, that still lives with you now, that you're quite proud of, that you'd like to share?
That, look, there are so many, honestly. I've just had one the last day or so that I just absolutely love. This client, and she's happy for me to share. She's been very unwell for about 8 years. So when I first saw her, which was over a year ago, she was at a point where she was able to eat only about 6 different foods because she had such a serious reaction. She's allergic to so many different things in her life. She's been to see so many doctors, so many specialists, does not have a clear diagnosis, sort of like chronic fatigue, sort of like adrenal fatigue, sort of like a lot of different things, very high levels of toxicity, and really not getting any answers and not sure that she was ever really going to get better. So she's certainly done, you know, other work as well. But I just got this email from her, and she said after her last session, she said, you know, I knew it was big, but I had no idea what I was in for. So much has changed. And so then she went on to detail in this really long email all of the different things that have happened. And she started Tai Chi, and she said, you know, she hasn't been able to do something like that in years. She hadn't been able to be in a car for a very long time, and she actually drove a car during the last couple of weeks. So she was really excited about that. And she's just contemplating all these different things, and so she's been able to speak to people without taking on their issues and actually provide support to them. You know, it's just this really amazing, I find it just amazing. It really nearly made me cry because she's really, you know, really felt like she wasn't living her life at all. That's how she's been feeling for quite some time. Like, I'm just here and stuck in this holding pattern. What is my life? I can't do anything.
And how long did you work with her? Like, how many sessions did you work with her for to bring about that kind of change?
Well, we've done about four. We did a session last year. When she first had a session with me, she couldn't have a session again for a while because even that caused a reaction.
Wow.
So she was just finding that anything she'd be doing to try and help herself would cause her to sometimes go backwards. So in this more recent period, she's had about 3 sessions with me.
That's incredible, isn't it, that you can bring about that kind of change in somebody with 3 sessions.
Yeah, and she said, you know, she had a little self-health setback within that time, but she just said, but I just, because I had a positive attitude, I just moved on through it, and I know it's going to be fine, and I know I'm just going to keep on, you know, she just sounds like a different person. And she also said in this email that everyone just keeps telling her she looks different. So just to hear that level of confidence, and we all know, like, if you have that belief in your own ability to heal yourself, that's really powerful, because, you know, I can hear in what she's saying now, she knows that she's going to get better, and I haven't heard that in her before. So that's amazing.
That really is amazing. And earlier on you were talking about how, you know, sometimes when you're muscle testing and stuff, you help people to uncover the the source of the, like the beginning of the problem, or when it first maybe embedded itself into people.
Yep.
Do you think that maybe that awareness, sometimes that awareness alone can sometimes sort of lift it, or does that often require additional work? Do you know what I mean? Just that awareness.
Really can. Like sometimes it's just like the light bulb goes on and people will say, I have never connected that up before.
Yeah.
But then you get to that root and then they think, oh, that just makes so much sense as to how I feel this way now. Or, you know, it's that thing where, you know, maybe this certain thing happened when they were 3 or when they were 5 or whatever age it was. And you know, there's like an aspect of their development that has kind of got a little bit stuck there, or they're still operating with those same kinds of coping mechanisms that maybe they had when they were a child. And it's just that realization of, you know, I'm not that helpless, powerless person anymore. I have all of these resources and abilities, and you know, I'm very capable. I think sometimes just really connecting yourself back to your own capability can have so much power.
So with all the people that you've spoken to, then are there any sort of do you ever get surprised? I guess what I'd like, I'm curious as to what kind of things have come up as being the thing that has triggered some of these problems. And have you seen any, maybe some consistencies, like, you know, maybe how we're treating our kids, or there's sort of some patterns that you're seeing that have, that, you know, that happened a long time ago in people's lives that are now sort of having their effects here and now that, that you've sort of observed with your clients?
Let me think. So oftentimes, yeah, I mean, definitely childhood stuff, certainly stuff to do with parenting can be quite common, but, you know, not just ordinary run-of-the-mill parenting type things. It's often, you know, that they might have felt really, I don't know, really devalued for some reason, or really forgotten about some reason. Sometimes, you know, it's quite common that it might have been a sibling that came along, or if there were problems in the parent relationship, or if there was any, I mean, this is an obvious thing, but if there was any form of abuse around them, or if there was a parent who went through a major trauma and responded in an unresourceful way, that can sometimes have been the trigger. It's like that person learned that's the way you deal with stress in your life. Or it might have been, you know, they went through something with a partner and they stayed, let's say, and, you know, that person learned you go through terrible things in your life, but you just put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that. But also, and as you get a bit older, there are a lot of peer type stuff. So obviously if there was any bullying, or if that person was teased or stood out because they were either a high achiever or a low achiever, or that were different in some way, that can be very significant. It's really diverse and it's quite unique to the person. But, yeah, you can often, once you really get to it, you can see how that's then playing out now, and it might be showing up.
Mm.
I'm just going to give one specific example with a man who, you know, his core wounding went back to when he was 5, and he had a very abusive father, and he used to try and protect his mother from him. And, you know, he was going through, he had retired and he'd been really let down by the way a situation had been managed, and he was supposed to get a bunch of money, which he didn't get, and he just felt completely powerless and helpless. He kind of felt like this 5-year-old, actually. And it was like, you know, they were then playing that role of the father, and he was just powerless to stop them. So what we were able to do is to bring him back into a space where he could actually realize, no, actually, I'm an adult, and I'm here and now, and I can take the appropriate action and follow this up, rather than just retreat into a corner like a 5-year-old child and not be able to deal with this in a resourceful adult way.
That's really, really interesting. That's really interesting. Are there any stories or experiences you've had where people have come up with experiences where they've been babies, or, you know, that moment maybe even before birth? Are there any stories that come up from those eras in people's lives that you're aware of?
Absolutely.
Really?
So, yes, often. So, obviously, as soon as you get below about the age of 3, I'll always say to people, you're probably not going to obviously remember this, but oftentimes we've been told of things that were going on. And so in those early years, it might be someone said, oh, yes, that's when, you know, my dad left my mom, or that's when my grandpa a grandparent died and this is the way it impacted on the family, or my parents went bankrupt, or whatever it is. But you're absolutely right. There also is times where it comes up in the womb. And, you know, they'll nearly always be aware of a significant stress that was going on at that time. So they've picked up on that. Or pre, and also past lives as well. Past lives is something I work with quite a lot with clients. And I'm always... I always ask my clients if that comes up. I say, are you open to the idea of past lives? If someone's not, that's not very common, but if that's totally fine, I'll say, well, you know, maybe we could think about it in the sense of being ancestral, or I'm even open to the idea that a past life, you know, it could just be a metaphor, a story that helps us to understand what's going on now. But when we clear things at that kind of level, that can be enormously powerful.
No, that sounds absolutely fascinating. And certainly there's a lot of work I'm doing right now around sort of pregnancy and childbirth, and the idea that, you know, when the mother is stressed, how much the baby picks up in utero. So it's really interesting hearing you say that some of the stuff that is picked up at that level does impact, and you're helping people with it, that the impact that's showing up today in their lives. That's really interesting to hear you say that.
Yeah, well, it can be those very strong emotions that people, you know, they've kind of lived with and they don't really know where it comes from. And it often is those kind of things, like, you know, it can be terror or panic or chronic anxiety. And it, sometimes, yeah, it might go back to a really difficult birth experience. And when you clear that, that person can then experience life differently in the present.
No, it's amazing. Some of these stories you're sharing are just wonderful, Kerry. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I just realised we've been chatting for ages, so we're going to have to try and wrap this up now. But can you just let my listeners know, where can they find out more about your work?
Absolutely. So you can find me at my website, which is awakenkinesiology.com. You can also find me on my Facebook page of the same name, so facebook.com/awakenkinesiology. Those are probably the two best ways. I do have a YouTube channel, and we're going to share just a couple of the videos I've got. One of them's about kinesiology, another one's about me. So if you're thinking I'd really like to hear a bit more about kinesiology again, they just summarize it in a really short way for you. You might find that useful. But I'd love to connect with any of you who've got any questions. Please feel free to do that.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to put all those links in the show notes in the blog post with this episode. And as Kerry said as well, putting some videos in there as well to help explain a bit more about kinesiology if you want to find out a little bit more about it. Well, thank you so much, Kerry, for joining me today. It's been absolutely fascinating. Really, really has. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Kerry talking a bit more about kinesiology and muscle testing. And so before the chat, I did say to you that I'd wanted to sort of shed a bit more light about how you can combine muscle testing with your own head trash clearance work. So the one thing I would urge you to do in the first instance is to really learn more about muscle testing. So check out the video that that we've put onto the blog post that goes with this episode on the headtrash.co.uk website, and listen to Kerry talking a little bit more about it. But also get yourself a copy of Bradley Nelson's Emotion Code, because in there he's got a few chapters dedicated to helping you to begin to do muscle testing for yourself. And so that would be my first piece of advice for you, is to get your head around it in that way. But once you start becoming comfortable with using muscle testing, you can start combining it with your head trash clearance work using the 5-step process that you can get free from the headtrash.co.uk website, to really start reading your own system and understanding what you need to do to feel better and what the blocks are for you. And the way that I use it when I'm working on myself is I use it to help me gauge when I've cleared something fully from my system. That can be a really useful way of using muscle testing. So for example, if you were working on clearing your fear of something, let's say you had a fear of injections, say, and so you might think, oh yes, well, I've cleared it now, but you don't really know if you have cleared it fully and 100% from your system, from your body, and from all the places that fear could be lurking within your system. And so muscle testing in that situation can be really great to help you to muscle test, have you or haven't you cleared this fully? So again, when Kerry mentioned during our chat, you know, you really need to ask muscle testing some very clear questions, some yes or no questions. And so some great yes or no questions in the context of head trash clearance is, have I cleared this emotion fully? Is it clear? Is it not clear? Does it need more work? what do I need to work on next? So, for example, if you have your head trash clearance to-do list, which I hope you have a nice long list of head trash clearance to-do lists. If you don't know what a head trash clearance to-do list is, then check out my podcast episode all about starting a head trash clearance to-do list. But let's just say you have got your list and you've got a load of stuff written on your list of things that you know you need to clear. Then you can just work through your list and decide what is the most important thing you need to work on next. So you ask yourself simply, is this the priority, or do I work on this next? Yes or no? So again, using very simple questions on emotions and values, you know, things that you can start to clear using our five-step process. And you can gauge A, whether or not you need to work on it for yourself, and B, whether or not it's fully clear. And so that is how I would recommend that you combine using muscle testing with our head trash clearance method. And certainly that is how I use it and in all my sessions with my clients to help me guide myself through the session and understand what the client needs to work on next and whether or not they've fully cleared it. I hope that's useful to you. If you have any questions about muscle testing, kinesiology, or indeed the head trash method, then just send me an email. You know where I am, at hello@headtrash.co.uk. Kerry mentioned that she'd be happy to take some of your emails as well. So I've got all her details on the website and you can find it all there. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Until next time, bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in. You've just been listening to Alexia Leachman here on The Head Trash Show. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to pop over to www.headtrash.co.uk to get your copy of the free 5 Steps to Clearing Head Trash guide. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes for more strategies, tips, and how-tos for clearing your head trash and reclaiming your headspace. Until next time.